The last shiur we had a chance to begin Simin Tzadi Gimel. We had a chance to begin to work on the sugyot Avodah Zarah Ayin Hei Amud Beis Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, and to begin to mine some of the richness of what the two big tosis in Ayin Vav Amud Aleph have to offer. And we're going to Mitchum continue that work this evening. There are two locations in the Chumash for the discussion of Hagolas Kelim. It's in Parshas Matos. It's also in Parshas Tzav. And the Parshas Tzav, we focused last time on Parshas Matos. We're about to get back to Parshas Tzav as well. The Torah tells us in the Mishnah, then the Braisa, the Baal of Ayin Hei Beis reflect the idea of Kibolo Kachbolto. The number one, that there is a notion of Hechsher Kelim, that most Kelim, there are some materials the Chumash tells us that are unkasherable or largely unkasherable, like pottery. But metal Kelim and many other Kelim are kasherable. They need kashering and they are kasherable. That implies that there is absorbed flavor, and if you have a kli that absorbs a tarfus, it's going to exude it in the next food unless you do something to solve that problem. So then the Avodah Zarah that comes up in the context of tarfus, you get kelim from a nachri. The nachri obviously was cooking non-kosher food in the kelim. And then the brice that appears both in Gidan Hashem and Kalabasra, as well as in Zvachim, Kideir Shabish Babasra Lavash Bukhalav and Bishal Benos and Tam. There too, you're not allowed to use the same kli from Milchiks and Fleshiks consecutively. And that if you did, it's not a problem with Chetzil, it's even a problem with Yevon. Bishal Benos and Tam is going to exude the Fleshik Kli, you make Milchiks and the Fleshik Kli, it's going to exude Fleshik flavor into the Milchiks. You're going to have to make the same type of no same Tam calculations, either Kefela or Shishim, that we would make in the case of actual Chalav falling into Basra, vice versa, Tipas Chalav, the Mishnah Kuvches, Amin Aleph and Chulin. Then last time he also saw the Gemara goes on to talk about Nosin Tam Lefgam. The Gemara goes on to talk about what do you do if well, there's an interesting question. The Gemara wants to know whether what do you do if the Kalim, if you should have kashered and you didn't. You should have kashered and you didn't. So the Gemara, so the Braisa about Bas B'chav just says in Bishal Benosin Tam. It's not a problem with Chatzil, it's even a problem with Yavik. The Gemara here, the Braisa, the Gemara here, and I'm from Zion Hayim Beis, has two versions of what this Braisa, this Tanur Rabbanan, tells us. If you used it without kashering, it's also used without kashering, it's mutter. And the Gemara seems to apparently has a Masora that these are not talking about two different cases, but instead they're talking about it's a machlokas about the same case. Which is why the Gemara understands that both prices, what Ha'ola Mitoch Advarim, the Gemara understands that both prices are talking about Ein Ben Yamo. The Kli is already Ein Ben Yamo. It's no longer this. You use the Kli for Tarfus one day, and now you're using it for Kasher food a different day. And the question is, and that's a Nosin Tam Lefgam. And the question is Nosin Tam Lefgam Mutter or Aser? And the Gemara goes on to say that if you hold Nosin Tam, we pass on Nosin Tam Lefgam is Mutter. Which is why we pass in the cliche, Kli Ben Yomo creates problems. And any Ben Yomo you're not allowed to use, but it doesn't affect anything else. The Man Da Amar the Nosin Tam Lefgam is Aser, the Gemara understands what it sounds like it's a Machlok is a Metzias almost. The Gemara understands that Man Dharma holds, assumes that the Beliyah is Pogum right away. As soon as it goes into the Charsus HaKadayim, if it sits there for 5 minutes, it's already going to be, Lefgam. It's going to be a net, at the very least, a different approach than we've shown him, at the very least, Nostam Lefgam means that it's a net negative. It's going to decrease, it's going to decrease the taste of the foods going into it. Doesn't mean it's necessarily Nifsal Mechila. That's what some Rishonim say. At the very least, it's going to be a net negative to the food it's going into. So the one who holds his Tamafgam is Aser says it's right away, Nifgam, somewhat. It will be Pogim the Kudu goes into no matter what, because it's that coming out of the Karsha Sakdeira. So apparently, you see from the Pesukim that there is a notion of Hagalos Kalim. So apparently, Tam Pogim matters as well. Tam Pogim can still make something else trade. So Mali Ben Yomo, Mali Ena Ben Yomo. We reject that. We all know Tamafgam is Mutter. That hinges on a mitzias assumption that a tam which is still a ben yomo is not pogam. Tam is a ben yomo will not be pogam the food that's going into. It'll be a net positive. Doesn't necessarily taste as good as the actual fresh food that the tam came from, but still it's going to when that tam of fleishik goes to milch the food. When the tam of chazir goes into kosher food, you know if it's still a ben yomo. If it's relatively fresh, it will overall enhance the flavor of the food, kosher, the erstwhile kosher food it's going into, and as a result, will make a trip. So that's how Paskin, that's what we saw, Shulchan Aruch, Simin Tzadi Gimel, that's how Paskin, and also in Tam Lufgam is Mutter, a Tam Ben Yomo we assume is not Pagum, and therefore makes treif. And a Tam which is Eino Ben Yomo, it sat there till the next, the Tam was Nivlan the pot until the next day. So at any rate, it's no stam of gam. It's still Asr Midrabanan to use the kli, in Israel Chathila, to use the kli without first kashering it, but B'di'evet, literally B'di'evet, you already use the kli, the Fleshik kli for Milchik, you already use the trait for kli for kasher, for Tena Ben Yomo, it doesn't make traits. I spoke about last time, the Bliya is generally no longer alive in active Bliya once it becomes Tena Ben Yomo and it's Pagum. So there are a couple of exceptions which will be coming across. One perhaps is Chametz B'Pesach, and another one is in the context of a Davar Charev. Tam Pagum, those are Davar Charev. Davar Charev is Machil L'Shvach. It's a sugya earlier in the Masech Zohar. It's coming up Bli Neder. When we get near the end of Bas B'Chalav, Simit Tzadi Zayin, the discussion about the Dvarim Charifim. There's a number of Chidushim and Dvarim Charifim, and one of the Chidushim is a shech said the Rav once said in Shia, there are five chidushim with Davar Charev. Davar Charev is Yotzim HaKlal. There are five different klalim in Yisrael HaTzer. And one of the five is that knows that it's Machil L'Shvach. And the Ein Ben Yomo is going to still be a Tam L'Shvach, which means practically, if you have a Fleishik knife, that has been used for hot fleishiks in a week, a month, and then you cut an onion with a fleishik knife, even though it's Ein Ben Yomo, the onion still became fleishik. Or if you have a frying pan, milchik frying pan, that has been used for milchiks in a week, and then you saute onions, parf, in the Ein Ben Yomo milchik frying pan, the onions become milchik. Okay. And then last time, we saw also that the Tosas, the long Tosas, the first Tosas on Vav and Aleph, is primarily focused on a machlokas. We've shown in Rashi and Reino Tam together versus Reino Baruch, how you define Ein Ben Yomo. You define Ein Ben Yomo as just a Linas Laila Rashi. Rashi is mashma that way, but Tam, they quote extensively, Tam spoke up in Feirish. This has to do with overnight. And Rabbeinu Baruch, author of the Sefer Truma, vigorously disagreed, and we passed in Shulchan Aruch like Rabbeinu Baruch. Shulchan Aruch is very nonchalant about it. It doesn't even make a big deal. It's a davar pashut. It has nothing to do with overnight. It has nothing to do with Alos HaShachar. Rabbeinu Tam said as a zecher, it's sort of a little bit like karbanos. In the morning, is Ibar Tzura, Lina, Psalina. By Tosas, the lay by Tosas are very uncomfortable with that. Again, it was a remes. But that highlights the fact that Kachim, so it's a metaphysical reality, it's a spiritual life. So it's a din. Kachim come nisal belina. But the pegam of a blia is presumably a physical reality, so it's hard to understand that. So if you're dealing with an organism, so you understand there could be a circadian rhythm. It's hard to understand there's a circadian rhythm to the blia, so it's a difficult concept. It's nice that we pass on Rebbeinu Baruch. This is a question of 24 hours. It's just a question of 24 hours. There's more going on Tosas as well. in terms of the restarting the clock and Hanan B'Shar Yisur, but let's really focus, let's turn our attention to the second Tosus. The second Tosus opens with an intriguing question. This we left off of last time. The second Tosus opens with an intriguing question, and he has a very practical application to how we kasher. Tosus wants to know, I don't understand. Tosus says, I don't understand this whole idea that that you have a clear shemen yomo, so midrabana, and you're not, it's no wheat pasta, it's time for time with butter. So if you use the shemen yomo, b'dieved, it doesn't make the food, the fresh food you just cooked in a tray, but it's usher to use it. Why? So why is it, me'at tovah shi butter? Why is it usher midrabana? Gzeira shemen yomo, otu ben yomo. Or you may get confused. You allow you the freedom to use me'at tovah, you use a cliche and a benyomo freely. I tell you, Paskin, those towns come as mutter. Odd. We're very unused to this whole idea. I love of Daraisa. You have a flesh in a frying pan. So I want to use it for scrambled eggs and cheese. They say, well, when was the last time you used a flesh in a frying pan? Oh, 26 hours ago. We used it yesterday, Monday morning breakfast. Sunday morning breakfast. Brunch. So for Monday lunch, you could use the same frying pan for milchiks or fleishiks. Every 25 hours, you could switch. You're clearly asking for trouble. It sounds like it's a situation that could be rife with confusion and so Chazal said, "Gzeira ain't a benyama ata benyama." That tells one, no, but it's interesting. Gzeira. So we only made the gzeira halfway. Because remember, benyomo. You're not allowed to use it, and if you use it, it makes drave. Right. So here we say, no, I'll use it, we use it, it does make drave. So why do we set it up that way? How come the food is kosher, but the kedera is drave? Okay, you could just say, okay, look. There you can kasher. The food you can't kasher. Okay, you could have said that. But the Tosas digs deeper in a way that's important and relevant. Because they go on to raise another question. How do you kasher? How does kasher work? So we said that the Mishnayos point out that based on the psukim matos, which should be highlighted, not the tzav, that there are two basic ways to kashering. There may be sub flavors of each one. There are two basic species of kashering, are hagaola and liban. Either you like the dover, if it was the original blia was through wet heat, a pot, a ladle, so then you just have to put it into boiling hot water, and that extracts the tam anivla. If the tam originally went in through dry heat, so it was grilling or pan frying, something like that, so then hagala is insufficient, you have to do liba. Kibolo kachbolto. So how does hagala work? We should point out that liban actually is so, liban isn't an extraction process, it just, it's an incineration, it destroys, annihilates whatever blea is inside, it's burnt up. But Hagala is extraction. It's literally Kibolo Kachpolto. There's one second, Kibolo Kachpolto, and then Kipolto Kachbolo. I don't understand. I have a ladle, right? I have the fleshic ladle, I accidentally use it for milchiks, so now it's tray. So now we have to get out the tray for blia. So what I do, I take a pot of water, I boil it, and I stick a ladle in. And then what? So then the flavor comes out. We were here a day ago, and that's why our flavor got in. So I understand. I have a pot of water, and I stick in the tray for ladle. So now the tray for flavor goes into the water. So now I have a ladle, kosher ladle in a pot of trefa flavor. So wasn't that what happened last time? So why doesn't the ladle become trefa all over again?
In the pot,
So sometimes the answer will be, well, maybe you should have a pot that's so big, your kosher pot should be so big that there's shishim in the water connected the volume of the ladle, so the flavor, the trefa flavor comes out ladle into the water and it immediately goes.
Can one drink the water after it cools down?
Because it's involved in
tzachilah.
Right. Interesting. Interesting, yeah. And let me answer a question. What do you say? You always have to have shishim. You always have to have shishim. Well, let's say a very big pot. Let's say a very big pot. So, is there any other solution? Is there any solution? So, Tosafot says the alternative, shishim is one solution. But there are one or two other solutions also. And the other solutions, well, practically speaking, we don't usually use shishim. We usually use a different solution, and it's based, it's rooted in this lumdisha question, the practical question of how does Hagaola work. The answer to that is rooted in this lumdisha question of what's going on in this gemara. Why is it that the gzeira of Eina ben Yomo, they asked the kedera, but they didn't ask the food, which is a different way. We put it before as, you're not allowed to use the pot, but yeah, if you use it, you're not allowed to put food in the pot. But yeah, if you put food in the pot, then the food doesn't become trif. The toast is nice. What that means is that the kedera is asr and the food is mutter. Right? That's the way we think about it. So, it's anybody else. You're not allowed to use that, but the food is okay. So why? So Tosis says, we have to appreciate what this line means. The first white line in Tosis, the fish hakedera haya ba iser gamar tchila. Have a hamach alo nivla bo iser me'ul. I have a Fleischer Capan. I have a Fleischer Ladle, and I stuck the Fleischer Ladle into Milchus. Even better. Let's leave the Milchus of Fleischer aside for a moment. I had a flesh that I put into milk. And then happened, that mistake happened on Matzah Shabbos, Lav Malka. And then I let it be in Ben Yomo. Monday morning, more than 24 hours later, I use a ladle in kosher soup. Whatever it is, milk, flesh, power, it doesn't matter. The ladle is already trafe. The ladle is trafe since Matzah Shabbos. Monday morning, I stick a ladle into kosher soup. So what do I say? I say, well, you weren't allowed to do that because it was trefa ladle. You should have kosher first. But the soup remains kosher. Why? Tosa says, well, because the ladle had an iser gamar. The ladle had a real iser initially. But the food never absorbed an iser. What do you mean the food never absorbed an iser? What does it mean? It just absorbed the tam. The tray for Tom Basa B'chal from the ladle.
It's like weakened.
What do you mean? The ladle was originally Aser. It's still Aser. Iser Gamma. What does that mean? So the other Rishon phrases as Tchila Sablia L'Shevach versus Tchila Sablia L'Fgam. The ladle, this ladle, when I stuck that, I'd use this ladle on Shabbos. I use this ladle Shabbos morning for challah. Then I use a ladle Matzah Shabbos for milch and soup. So, mamash treif. Ben Yomo treif. Mamash treif. 24 hours later, now it's pogum. Oh. But initially, when the tam went into the ladle, it was a tam l'shvach. So that's what he says. It was the ladle was Iser Gamar Tchila. Initially, it was Iser Gamar. It was Iser Daraisa. It was a tam l'shvach. 24 hours later, it becomes pogum. Masha'eino. So that's the aser. Midrabana. We ask her that. Tchila sabliya l'shevach. Masha'eino came. The food, when I take the ladle on Monday and I stick the ladle into a fresh, hot kosher soup, so I'm not going to ask her the soup. Why not? Why not say the soup is also aser, but you have a ben yomo to ben yomo? So it says, no. It's not just l'chatchila b'dievet. It's that the tam in the soup is tchila sabliya l'fgam. When the basar b'chal tikka flavor left the ladle and went into the soup, it from the moment it landed in the soup, it was already pogum. Ab initio was pogum. It was tchilo sabli lufgam. So Chazal never forbade even midrabanan tchilo sabli lufgam. The gzer drabanan of ena b'yomo is to forbid tchilo sabli l'shavach. But now it's pogum. That's also midrabanan. Min haTorah, it's only aser while it's still l'shavach. Midrabanan, they aser tchilo sabli l'shavach, even though now it's pogum. But if it's tchilo sabli l'shavach, that's heter gam. So that's why the way it plays out practically is that we tell you you're not allowed to use the kli. Iser shtamshos. Why? Because tchilo sabli l'shavach. The kli was once fully treif. But if you violate the Isra Hishtamshus and the flavor went into the soup remains kosher because that was Tchil Sabliya Lifgam. Oh. So how does that play out practically? So number one, before we even get to Tosas's example, an industrial application. This idea of Tchil Sabli L'Shevach versus Tchil Sabli L'Fgam comes up in industrial food settings daily, in canning plants, because the way most canning plants work, you put the food raw into the can in some water and you leave a little bit of headspace, empty space at the top, and then you cook the food in the can. And that way it's already sealed and then it gets cooked and it's pasteurized, and that's how it can last in the can for a long time without going rancid. So how do you cook the canned food in the can? Because you're not making a big pot, you pre-pack the cans, so you stick the cans into hot water, or you do. So the way the efficient way to do it is steam jackets. They have this superheated steam, and they cycle it through a steam jacket, and they pass this. The cans are on a conveyor belt. The cans of the raw food go through a conveyor belt through the steam jacket. So they can dial up and dial down the temperature of the superheated steam in the steam jacket. And they can also control the speed at which the conveyor belt travels. Sort of like those toasters that they sometimes have. Old-fashioned conveyor belt toasters. You put the fan in it, you can decide how hot it is, you can decide how fast it goes, and it pops out eventually at the bottom. It's a similar idea. Obviously, far more sophisticated equipment. And they're just constantly, the steam is constantly cycling back down into the boiler and being reheated, and that's how they maintain the temperatures. And they can do runs and runs. So some very large food manufacturers have on their own dedicated canning lines, but plenty of smaller food manufacturers will rent hours at a canning plant. So the question is: I want to can tomato sauce. So is it, I think we touched on this already a little bit, no pun intended, in some inside days. And then inside days talk about, so the shaila is, we're making tomato sauce. So we can make sure all the ingredients in tomato sauce are kosher. And then we show up to the can plant with our crates and crates and crates of sealed cans of the raw tomato sauce. And then we're going to stick it into on the conveyor belt. Yeah, but they don't cool that in between. The water was used, it could be they did clam juice in the morning. Mouse. So, based on the end of Siman Sadi Beis, we're concerned with the flavor penetrating through. In other words, you have to remember. In other words, you can't argue that any below yotzev is below rotev because you have a can of clam juice, and around the outside is the steam, and that same steam is later in contact with the outside of the can of the tomato sauce. So it's going to go. Going to penetrate across, I'm going to penetrate across again. So, you could demand, if you have dedicated plants, you can control what's in there. But otherwise, what are you going to do? You can control, and you can't ask them to cool it down and empty out all the water. That's a very expensive process. I think the OU's approach is the thing it mentions, maybe we learn Simon Sadi Beis. Now we appreciate the solution. Then we're focused on the problem, not focused on the solution. What's the solution? So the solution is I hear you're not the. If the water sat, by the way, you can't even tell me that. I'll wait for it to be in a benyomo. Number one, you don't necessarily control what was done within 24 hours. Number two, if it, I don't know how long they use the water for, but Eid Ben-Yomo is a function of Blias and Kalim, not Blias and food. Right? Clearly. Right? If you made food and trade for Pat Yonsei, wait 24 hours and the food is kosher. If the Kalim is originally in Ben-Yomo. So what are you going to do here? So the answer is what the OU does is they put a small amount of pine oil into the water. From a chemical standpoint, pine oil is pogame, and even apparently, from a taste perspective, pine oil is pogame even in incredibly small ratios. It can be very, very diluted, very, very pungent, and it mixes very well from a chemical standpoint with water, and even at high heats. So it's the right davar pogim. And then, so how does that work? How does that work? The answer is the water. The mashgiach shows up, right, to do a run of kosher food. So he throws a little bit of the pine oil into the water that's now being cycled up and down into steam and recondensing back at the bottom. So it's the same lumdus because the water, we could discuss whether or not I would want to drink the water. After I don't want to drink the water anyways. It has pine oil in it and why. But in terms of when the tom clam lands in the canned tomato sauce, it's tchilas ablil of gam. It's not tchilas ablil of gam. The water is not tchilas ablil of gam, but it's tchilas ablil of gam in the tomato sauce. So it's the same lumdus as Tosis. Then Tosis says, so Tosis, they wasn't talking about that. They give a different application of this tchilas ablil of shvach versus tchilas ablil of gam. It's similar, perhaps, though, which is that's how Hagala works. The way to make Hagala work without requiring a massive quantity of water, an enormous pot, you know you'll have shishim connected. The quantity of the kalim that you're kashering is to wait till the Ein Benyamo. Wait till the Ein Benyamo, and that's what you usually say. Wait till the Ein Benyamo, and then you'll kasher, and then you'll be fine. Why? 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 See, one second. How does that help? So we've all heard that before. All right, wait 24 hours, then kasher. But wait 24 hours is not mutar chatila, it's not mutar b'yavin. I can't wait 24 hours and then use the pan for milchik. So how do I wait 24 hours and kasher? The answer is no. Because put differently, wait 24 hours. I mean, wait 24 hours, and then what? Then the tom is going to go into water. It's going to bounce right back in. So I haven't advanced myself. The flavor came right back in. And if I say, it was Ein Benyamo before too. So how have I moved the kli from just being mutar b'yavin to being mutar chatchila if I'm just recycling? So the answer is, so says, no. Because now it's chatchila, because I moved it out and it came back in. Even if it came back in, but now it's chatchila, it will stop. It was, the time was in the ladle since the Matzah Shabbos. At that point, the time went in the first time, it was Tchilas B'il Shvach, Matzah Shabbos, it was Shvach. But by the time it reached Sunday night, it became Ein Benyamo, and now it was Tchilas B'il Shvach. They take it out and put it back in, now it'll be Tchilas B'il with gum. As it goes on to say, Hagolas kli ben yomo in lahagil el b'shishin. If it's still ben yomo, then it's a problem. Unless you have shishin, why the shamnun is haniflak b'cham in tam l'shavachu? Because the flavor goes into that. At that point, it's still the shvach, and if it goes back in, it's going to be treif. Yeah. And he goes on to talk about. And then Tosa goes on to give another solution, though. A third solution. As I mentioned before, there are three solutions to how do you kasher, how does Haggadah work? If we want to speak more broadly, how does kashering work? So how's kashering work? Answer number one is libun is mechal b'mekomo. It's another issue. Right? Or if you do Haggadah, well, you can have shishim. Or if you do Haggadah, you can have any ben yomo. Or the third way Haggadah can work. Not shishim, not ben yomo, he says like this. Aval, kishim magilin klei chametz be'erev ha-pesach, when you kasher chametz de'kekelin, Erev Pesach B'dal shows before the Zman Yisr Chametz up until 10 o'clock. Shas Heterhi Yachal Hagil Hafilu Kli Ben Yomo B'Pachas Mishishim. That's the third solution. Is this whole issue is only an issue if it's Isura Bala? If it's Isura Bala, so if you're kashering something that's still kosher, just has a status you want to get rid of, whether it's chametz kodesh zman yisur, or more commonly, that's actually machlokas, it's the status chametz kodesh zman yisur, not everyone can now lose shaman gritosis, or more commonly, let's say you have a par of a kli became milchuk, a par of a kli became flesh. Nothing's strafe. It just, we had a kli, the knife, this is a par of a knife, this is a par of a ladle. This is a parv of a pop. And we accidentally made a milch for fleshiks. That was a mistake. I want to get it back to parv. So that's hetera bala. So in the case of hetera bala, you don't need either. You don't need shishim, you don't need ina ben yomo. That's why, practically speaking, we say that if you're kashering from milchus or fleshiks to parv, you could kasher right away. If you're kashering from treif to kasher, so then you have to wait 24 hours. To fully appreciate this, Tosus begins to talk about the sugya of nat bar nat, which is coming up in a later context. But I should point out, and it looks like you have questions, let me just say one line. To set us up for where we're headed next. The Gemara here actually has a different angle on Isura Bala and Heter Bala that we should get to. But the Gemara here is going to talk about the fact that that whereas in unlike in Parshas Matzos, which we've been focused on up until now, where the Psukim differentiate between Hagala and Libun, Tashmisha b'chamin, it suffices to have Haggadah, but if Tashmisha b'ur, you require Libun, that's in Parshas Matos, in the context of the treif v'kelim that the Jewish army retrieved from the Midiani army. In Parshas Tzaddah, talking about kashrin from Karbanasar becoming Nosar, Torah only talks about Mrikar Shtifa, which the Gemara understands over the course of Ayin Vav to mean Haggadah. Haggadah, Mrikar means Haggadah, and Shtifa means rinsing in cold water. So the question is, rinsing cold water. There's not a Haggadah. What happened to Liban? So the Gemara understands that the whole need for Liban is only by Yisur Bala. In other words, in Parashat Tzav, it's a kasher carbon. It's going to become Noser. So then, even if it was used as a spit, a grill, a pan, all you need to do is kasher. That's true, we paskin for milchus and fleshiks as well. If I have a par of a kli, I have a par of a grill that I use for fish, let's say, or vegetables. And then I accidentally put fleshiks on it. So that's hetei rabala. It didn't absorb tarfus, it just absorbed fleshiks. So that's what emerges from the course of the Hemshech HaGemar and Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, is that in that case you could do Haggadah, which is very mysterious. I don't understand. I thought it was a physical issue. The dry heat drives the bli in deeper, and the only way to deal with it, Hagal is not going to extract. The only way to deal with it is through Liban. So why does it matter on a physical level, on a metaphysical level, mainly between kosher and treif, but on a physical, chemical level, why does it matter whether the bli that went in deeply through grilling or through pan frying, why does it matter whether that bli is chazir or milchix? The bli is there, and it can't be extracted through Hagala. So that's what the Rishon, the Ran, and others explain, that it works as follows. That the lumsus of what the Gemara is saying, that hetera bala suffices to do Hagala, that's why in Parshat Tzav, I only talk about Hagala, to a sura bala you need libun, and davar shetam shish b'ur, it's because it's not that Hagala does nothing. If you do Hagala on a grill, it's going to remove plenty of blia. It's not going to remove all of it. If you do Hagala on a pot, on a ladle, it'll remove everything. If you do Hagala on a grill, you do Hagala, it'll remove plenty, but not everything. So it'll be what the Rashba and Ran referred to as a tam kolosh. The flavor, the blia was weakened, but it wasn't eliminated. So where does that leave you? So what the Rishonim say is, what the Gemara here is driving at, Ayin Vav Ben Aleph, is that if you have a tam which is aser and then was weakened, it maintains the iser. But you cannot create a new iser using a tam kalash. So if it's isura bala, if I use the grill, use treif of meat on the grill, or I put milchix on a flechik grill, so now it's isura bala. Was boleya bas b'chol, was boleya chazir, was boleya nevela. So then, excuse me. If I do hagala, so I'll remove a lot of the flavor, but some of the flavor is still there because davish tashri shabur. So what does it help me remove a lot of flavor? Some of the flavor is still there. It was already treif from before. It'll remain treif even after it becomes kalush, even after it becomes weakened, muted, but not entirely muted. It's reduced, okay, but it remains straight. But if I have a power of a grill that I accidentally put fleishiks on, that's a hetera bala. So if I do hagala on the power of a grill, so I won't remove everything, but I'll remove most of it. What remains is a fraction of its former self. What remains is a quality, not just quantitatively, it sounds like qualitatively weaker blia, such that it's fleishik, but it can't become usser. A tam kolosh can't become usser. So if it never contacts milchix until after I did hagala, until after it became tam kolosh of fleishik, and later use milchix, it won't become treif. Or, in the case of the Gemara, if I have a kosher carbon and the blia goes into, I grill the carbon, so the blia of Besar Chatas, the blia of Besar Shlamin, the blia of Besar Ashem goes into the grill. And then I kosher it with Hagala, so I was maklish the tam, I weakened the tam, not eliminated, but reduced. So if I do that before the Zman Noser comes, which Machlokas Ramam Raivad, when are you supposed to be doing the Mrikr Shtifa? If I do it before the Zman Oser comes, it's a Ray Kalish. So then when the expiration date, expiration hour of the carbon arrives, for the Chatos Yashem it's a day and a night. For the Shlam it's the end of the second day. It's too late. It's not gonna become Noser because you're already called. It's only Tom Kalish that won't become Oser. So that's the distinction between Isura Bala and Teir Bala in our Gemara. Dr. Ben, if you had a question.
So by chametz before Pesach, Hagala would be sufficient. I mean, but if it comes aser, I don't know how that would.
So very good, very good. So Tov, very good. So now we're tying it all together. Right? So Tov said that there are three ways to do Hagala: either shishim or ina ben yomo, or a heter bala. And Tosa gives as an example, chametz kodem isuro. That's a machlokas Tosas and the Ramban, I believe. Whether chametz kodem isuro, do you say that it's it's hetera bala or isura bala? And that may be relevant here as well. As Shulchan Aruch, they believe we pass in Hilchot Pesach that you have to do libun on Devar Taon libun. Why? Because some Rishonim say we consider it to be Yisur Balai, it's not Asr yet. So the answer seems to be there is the rationale for disagreeing with Tosas that there is a status of Chametz B'chol Hashanah. Not in Archaim, but in Kachim. But there is an Yisur Chametz all year long, and that's called Sar B'chol Zarash, like Shimei Rishal Hashem. So that seems to be the reason why many Rishonim felt that Chametz Kodesh Ma'ani Suro, it already has a Chalo Shem Chametz. There is a Shem Chametz all year long. the din is changing. It's not that it's already Chametz. There's a new Nafkamina in being Chametz, which kicks in, late in the morning of Erev Pesach. So that might be why we would consider it to be Surah Bala. It already has a status. There's no new status. It already has a status. The calendar is changing, but it's already Chametz. So, but yeah, you're right. According to Tosis, it's likely that we would say that you could kasher the grill early enough. Not that you don't need shishim, but kasher the grill early enough, and all you need to do is hagali. You wouldn't need to do leaven. Okay. So these are the issues. I think the maybe next week we'll pick up. Next to Bli Neder, we'll wrap together Siman Sadi Gimel. There's more to see in the notes to Kalim. We saw a little bit of inside Shulchan Aruch last time. More to see in the notes to Kalim. And the Ramol says a lot to say about potlids, about putting the milchik a lid in the fleshik pot and so on and so forth. And that's going to take us back to the question of Hevel and Zaya and so on and so forth. So Bli Neder, and we see Shulchan is going to come around. The Ramol come around again. The question of the Shtei Kederish and Hanoga Zubazu, all the practical issues. It's Bli Neder. Next week we will wrap up Siman Sadi Gimel. Nathan, thank you for joining us.